faith actually works in the spiritual realm. What you have already, you don't have to use faith. Faith is about things. It's stuff that has not appeared. Now, what happens is the Bible tells us that faith hopes for those things. Faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. The Lord then showed me that all the time, how God has worked with his people was he would give a way to his people. After giving that way to them, he would always give them a visual aid. Why visual aid? Because you are seeing into the unseen. So God would give you something that will anchor your faith. So that is what this title is all about. Faith, visual aid. So it's the stuff that the Lord gives us to anchor our faith. We may not see what we are trusting God for, but once we have received that visual aid, once we have acted as per that visual aid, then our faith gets anchored. It cannot be moved anymore like a sheep. It cannot be moved anymore. And you will see as we proceed with this way that this is the common practice in the Word of God. God used it under the Old Testament, and he is still using it under the New Testament. Now, you can think of many things that are visual aids. You can group them into two main groups. The first group, it's those that are initiated by God. The second group is those fake visual aids that are inspired by God, but then we initiate them. The word that I have in my heart to share with you, it is about those fake visual aids that get inspired by God, but initiated by us. We are not going to talk about those that are initiated by God, where God can give you a dream. God tells you about what he wants to do. That brings faith. But then God shows you in a dream or in a vision, or he gives you a prophetic way. Immediately, once you get that confirmation, what happens to your faith? Your faith gets anchored. God went an extra mile. Maybe somebody came and told you what the Lord has said. That is what now initiated by God. It's your faith visual aid. It helps your faith. Because, you know, God has said it to me, but then somebody came and confirmed this way to me. Now, because of that, therefore you know that that way is going to come to pass. And the Bible says that every word be established by two or three witnesses. So, you are visualizing this thing, you're seeing this in the spirit, you're trusting God for this thing, and you're seeing it done in the spirit, but immediately God brings in something just to help you to anchor your faith. That's not the category we'll talk about. We're talking about this one, where he inspires us to initiate something for us to have our faith anchored. Because he has spoken to us. But the moment we do something, our faith gets anchored. Now, I just want to show you, first of all, I want to take you to the book of Hebrews, just as we are laying the foundation. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, we are actually going to read from verse 1 to verse 11. Praise the Lord. Now, let us read. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I saw in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased, very important, ceased from his works, as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The Bible tells us about God entering into a rest after creating the world and doing everything. The Bible says he then rested. He did not rest because he was tired, but he rested because he was done with the work that he was doing. So, now what the word is saying is that there is a rest that God had promised to his people, where he said they would be able to enter into that rest as well. And that rest, it talks about ceasing from your work. You stop doing anything, but you enter into a place of rest. The rest with God, where he has finished the work. So the Bible says he spoke about this promise to the children of Israel. He said there was coming a day when he would have them enter into the rest. But then he still spoke to David and said, today, if you enter in into the rest. So obviously these people had not entered into the rest that God had given to them. And then he continues to say now, we who have believed, we have entered into that rest. And when we read the word of God, you find out that actually the rest all works. God gave Israel a Sabbath, a symbol of Christ, where they would enter in to the rest. The Bible says, when they did not participate on the Sabbath, God punished them. The first man that was punished for disobeying the law of keeping the Sabbath was killed. That is how powerful and not bending the law is. Think about this. On a Sabbath day, you pick up sticks for fire and you are stoned to death as a punishment. So God was saying, I don't want you guys that when you enter into my rest, you still do your works. I want you that once you enter into my rest, you depend on me. On the sixth day, God will provide enough supply for the seventh day as well as the sixth day. And then he would say to them, then you don't even go and prepare food. When he was providing them with manna, they would have enough manna for 2 days. But if they would try to take manna for 2 days on any other day, then manna would rot. God was helping them to understand how to depend on him. The Bible teaches us that they even had to practice the year of the Sabbath. What it meant on the year of the Sabbath, they did not work on their ground for the whole year. But how did God deal with them? He did not say, I want you to use your faith and trust me during this seventh year. No, on the sixth year, the Lord provided enough harvest for the sixth year, seventh year, and the eighth year. God does not test us with scarcity. We must understand that it does not come from God. God wants us to always have abundance. So these people needed to enter into that rest. So they had to trust God, enter into that rest, and they did not. Now, when the Bible says we enter because we have believed. But then it says, verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. God does not expect us to do works to be acceptable before him, what? Or to gain his favor and receive things from him. Once we've entered into his rest, what happens is we cease from our own ways. And then the Bible continues in verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent. This word diligent is labor. Labor to enter into rest. That is something else. So in this entering into this rest, there is still diligence. There is still labor. You don't just get into this rest. You don't just sit and say, I have believed, therefore I have received. There is a labor that has to be entered into for us to be able to see what God has promised us. And the Bible says, these people did not enter in what? Because of disobedience. And we also, let us not fall into the same example of disobedience. What obedience are we called into? We are not called into the obedience as an example given in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it says, if you diligently seek me, if you hearken to my word and diligently seek me, I will bless you. Then it gives all the blessings that will come over them because of them diligently obeying the Lord. And he says from verse 14, from verse 15, if you do not obey me, these are the curses that will come to you. So that is not the obedience that we are called to. We are called to the obedience of faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, we are called into the obedience of faith. Just like our father Abraham was called into the obedience of faith. Remember Abraham, how was he righteous? He believed, and then he was declared righteous. That is the obedience we are called into, where we just believe what God says, and then we are declared to have received what God has given to us. That is the obedience we are called to. Not the works that are done to qualify for the blessings of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to show you something about Abraham. Something wonderful where we see still this example of God using faith visual aids to help him to have his faith anchored, his faith strong. How did God deal with him? He did certain things. We see here God initiating these faith visual aids. These are not those that are initiated by Abraham, but God is initiating these ones. Let's look at this. This is the first category of these faith visual aids. Genesis chapter 13, we'll read verses 14 to 17. And the Lord said to Abraham, after the Lord had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look. Think about this. Abraham now has to do something. Lift your eyes now and look. And this happens after Lot has separated from him. Now he is on his own as God had called him alone. It's the first time that he's telling him. So God is saying now, look at the land. As far as your eyes can see, I have given you that land. And I've given that land to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. There is another faith visual aid. When this man would walk on the sand, as you would see the dust of the sand, you would imagine, as well when you talked about even the stars, he said at night. So during the day, God wanted this man to look at the sand. They lived in a desert. So when this man looked at the sand, he understood. At night, when he could not see the sand, he could look at the stars. These are faith visual aids to anchor our faith. The Bible says, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, That must first be what? Hope. We live without hope. We allow our minds to run any direction. We dream and we think about many things. God is showing us that our faith has to be anchored. And what anchors our faith is hope. Yet we see him giving hope to this man. He did not just give him away, but then he wanted to build his hope. And we, Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, then it came to a point where Abraham hoped against hope. So this man, he had to look at the dust, and then he could see the promise of the Lord. And then look at verse 17, the third thing that the Lord told him. He said, now arise and walk in the land. I don't know if we get the point here. The emphasis. Doing something to change your mind. To bring it to a point where you have possession of that which God has given to you. Don't just have a dream out there and leave it out there. God is saying, I want you to first of all look around and understand that you will have descendants that will occupy this land. But then God says, yeah, verse 17, arise, walk in the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you. It is before he has descendants to occupy the land. God says, I give this land to you. So what God has promised us, he has done it. The work is finished. But we need to work with him. Walk the land. If you do not walk the land, you will not see the promise come up. There is a rest that God has kept for us already. And we are called to the obedience of faith. So let's apply our faith to see, to receive the rest that God has given to us. And God says he will use what? Faith. Visual aids. God helped Israel to believe his word by giving them times and shadows of what was to come. Where do you see this? You see this in the book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. It even talks about the Sabbath. It says that the Sabbath was a shadow of what was to come. The Sabbath, the real Sabbath, had come. People are still stuck on the shadow. But what God did, he had them practice on a weekly basis. Every week, he had them practice resting and doing nothing, trusting God to provide for them. He had them practice on a weekly basis, on a yearly basis as well. I mean, on the seventh year, every time they had to do this. And we have the year of Jubilee as well. What was God doing? He gave them the shadows. So that when the real thing comes, they can then participate. This rest in Christ. You know, currently we are asking God to provide for us, for God to bless us. We are asking God to heal us. And when he's finished, Jesus Christ has become our rest. We should not be asking God for those things. We should be partaking of the rest. So God had them experience this in the natural, so that when the real deal comes, then they would see this is it. And then they would just hook in and they would stop trying to live a certain way so that God would do things. They would come to a point where they would just receive that which God had. Now, what God used was, he used a faith visual aid. He used the blood that was applied on doorposts. Think about this. How can just the blood of the lamb protect you from losing your life? God gave them a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ, but he had the blood of the lamb applied on the doorposts. And those people, once they had applied the blood as God instructed them, they knew that death would not come to their households. Those people never even went outside as God instructed them, because they believed that the blood, the tithe, seeing the blood, we underestimate this. We don't see the need of flowing with this. God used the anointing oil. God used the anointing oil to speak about the work of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit was going to do. Before the Holy Spirit came, he hadn't used the anointing oil. But we see that in the new covenant as well, God still went on with this practice of people using the anointing oil. If you go to Christian families and ask them if they use anointing oil, why don't we use this faith visual aids? You know, the Bible says God supplied them abundant olive trees so that they could have olive oil to apply in their lives. They used olive oil. And science has told us the benefits of olive oil. We did not understand. We thought, no, they were just Israel, so they just need to use olive oil. We must partner with God. The other faith visual oil that the Lord used was wine. God used wine as a faith visual aid, speaking into the future, the joy of the Lord. Don't say to me, I'll just go there. I won't say to me. Because I don't mean using the wine that way. The last one that I still want to talk about is the bread. We don't use this visual aid, faith visual aid, to anchor our faith. Some of us have started using the wine, bread, but it's just a ritual. There is no faith there. It's just one of those things that we just do because we are in church. We don't use that as an anchor of our faith. So these symbols spoke of what Jesus and the Holy Spirit would do when they finally come. Now, in the new covenant, God continues to use the symbols to help anchor our faith. So today we'll look at the significance of the anointing oil. Who has an anointing oil at home? I'm sure we all have oil we use for cooking. But do we have anointing oil? Can I say there? Just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Why don't we use this faith? Who practices the Holy Communion at home, on the knees or at home? Can I see the hand? Praise the Lord, I see the hands. Why don't we use these faith visual aids? And we say, I have believed God, I have trusted God, and God seems to be doing nothing. But we do not anchor our faith. Then we'll look at the anointing. Anointing oil was used when appointing people into an office, and it was used for celebration. It was used to refresh if a person was weary. So in other words, the ingredients of these oils determined the use of oil. Even today, you go to a beauty spa, they use what? Oils to refresh you. Special oils. God has been practicing this for years. But we, the people of God, value it. The Holy Spirit fulfills all these functions in our lives. The Holy Spirit anoints us into an office. The Holy Spirit helps us with celebration. The Holy Spirit refreshes us. That is what He can do for us. So, when we are anointed with oil, we can expect the Holy Spirit to empower us. We are anointed into an office. Then you must know that I am empowered. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's the Holy Spirit. He is there to empower you. So, once you are anointed, it's a visual aid. When somebody comes and anoints you into an office, and know that the power of the Holy Spirit is released over your life. You look back at the lives of the kings and the prophets that were anointed. After they received the anointing oil upon their lives, the power of God went. And the Bible says they were in an inferior covenant than our covenant. So when you are anointed into a task, believe that the Holy Spirit has come upon you to enable you into a task. Use that moment of being anointed as your faith anchor. Let it be your faith visual anchor. That's how you see into the Spirit. You see that I was anointed on this particular day. I was anointed into this task. Therefore, I am anointed to do what I am doing. Know that. And then leave God to do what He wants to do through you. Don't try to do it in your strength. The anointing sets us apart, like it did when Moses anointed Aaron. We know the Bible talks about how God instructed Moses to anoint Aaron, to anoint his sons. God instructed Moses to even anoint their garments. Garments were anointed. And God went and He anointed what? Temple utensils. To set those things apart. Let us learn. These people, after they were anointed, they knew beyond any shadow of doubt that God had set them in that office. And then they knew that the garments that they used, they knew that those garments were set apart for the function. You must remember that the garments, especially when you look at the garments of the high priest, they preached a message. So when the high priest would wear his garments, he knew the message that God is preaching through the garments. The utensils that were used. So there is power that comes with us working on our minds. It is the Holy Spirit that does the work, but God uses these things to get our minds to align with what He wants to do. So this becomes your faith visual aid. When we need refreshing, we can pray in tongues. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 28, verse 11, it says, speaking in tongues is a refreshing that God had promised to us. So when you speak in tongues, you will get refreshed. You will get refreshed. And we don't pray in tongues because there's nobody with a gun in our heads to say pray in tongues. Can you see why we need to understand that our faith has to be anchored? There is an obedience. The obedience is the obedience of faith. There is a diligence. That diligence is to do what God inspires you to do. If you have a tendency of just ignoring the inspirations from the Lord, you become dull in your heart where you cannot pick up the signals from the Lord. And then you come to a point where you just, it's like one of those things. And God could be saying something powerful. And then you say, you know, I knew, but unfortunately, because you have become accustomed to ignoring those signals. You know, I look at how as well, I have not arrived. It's a journey. I am trying all the time to make this the rules of the world. You know, I don't like having a safety. It is good for me. You know what? I'm not comfortable. So what am I doing there? I try to remember to put on. The moment I remember put on a safety belt, one particular example that I can give you, where the package that we use at work, before you use lights, once you get in there, you must put your lights on so that the other drivers can see you come. You know, there are times when, you know, you just want to be there. You just don't want to put the lights on. But, you know, every time I catch myself, I put the light on. I mean, it doesn't matter how far I am in that drive. Because sometimes, you know, you forget to look at the sign and tell you to put the lights on. So you get in there, the lights are not on. At the moment, I remember training myself to respond to the promptings so that I can become used. Just hearing, so when he says do this, then I will just do the right. There are many other examples that I can give. Small things which I am doing to train myself. The Bible says you can train your senses. So I'm trying to train my senses. There are things which are not wrong because the Bible says indulge. Or, so I need to train my senses. Just have this thing of listening to this inner voice. Train yourself. So I'm saying when we need refreshing, we can pray in tongues. Or we can listen to inspired messages. The Bible in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 to 20, it talks about us. It says, let us be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it tells you how you get filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. You know what? Inspiration, giving prophetic words to one another, listening to God inspired words. That refreshes you. But we also can be refreshed by being physically anointed with anointing oil and declare the word of the Holy Spirit. You need a refreshing. You need a fresh in feeling that, remember, you are filled, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, but the feeling of the Holy Spirit is not the ones of faith. You need a refreshing. Pray in tongues. That anchors your faith to receive the fact that you are actually anointed with the Holy Spirit inside you. You should not be depressed. You should be always full of joy and enlightenment from the Holy Spirit all the time. So when you take that anointing oil and you anoint yourself, your mind shifts immediately. I have the Holy Spirit. And then you don't think of yourself as without, as needing. This is a very visual. Remember that you are not demanding anointing from the Holy Spirit, but you are acknowledging that He has provided the anointing you need. It is inside you already. So you're not demanding. That's why then, as well, you know, you don't have to pray long prayers. This works faster. The anointing one works faster at times than speaking in tongues. At times it works faster than listening to God-inspired messages. Because as I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit, I take the oil and I remind myself, the act is done, and immediately my mind shifts. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Quickly, faster than I could perhaps pray in tongues. Did you understand this? These are practices that we as the body of Christ need to have in our lives. Anointing oil destroys the yoke. That is what Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says. Let's check that verse. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. Do you have a burden on your shoulder? Has the enemy given you a burden? The Bible says, it shall come to pass that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder. And then, and his yoke shall be taken off your neck. Are you yoked to the devil? Is he driving you around? Is he forcing you to do stuff that you want to do? If the Bible says the time will come when his yoke will be taken out of your shoulder. Let's continue. It says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It did not just say anointing. It says, because of the anointing oil. Why specific anointing oil? Why not just say, because of the Holy Spirit? God wants to anchor your faith. Now, the moment you apply oil, anointing oil, if you have a burden on your shoulder, if you are yoked by the devil, yoked with the devil, and you have no control over your life, it's controlling you. The moment you take the anointing oil and apply it upon yourself, the burden is taken off. The yoke is taken off. And the Bible says, this yoke that is taken off you will never be put back on you because the yoke will be destroyed by the anointing oil. What burden do you have? What yoke do you have in your life? Apply. the anointing oil. As you apply the anointing oil, you are anchoring your faith. And the Holy Spirit, who is there to destroy that power or that work of the enemy, kicks in and he does the work, because he cannot do it without you having faith. The rest is there for you already. You have to enter into this rest. And you will enter into this rest by obedience to faith. Praise the Lord. The anointing oil. The anointing oil. Now we can apply the anointing oil to destroy any yoke of the enemy in our lives. Do you have poverty? Lack? This is another. Is poverty a yoke? Is lack a yoke? Is sickness a yoke? I'll show you an example here. How even in the New Testament we are instructed to use anointing oil. It was not just an Old Testament practice. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 14. It says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them come and anoint him with oil. Pray for him and anoint him with oil. Can you see? The yoke of sickness is on this man. The yoke of sickness. How do you destroy the yoke of sickness? Use the anointing oil. And the Bible says, if this man is lying down, he is sick. And even if he's got sins, when you apply the anointing oil, his sins will also be forgiven. So he'll be free, because he thinks his sins are the cause of his sickness. So whatever sin that he thinks brought the sickness, when you apply that anointing oil, you know what? It's just an aid to aid your mind. Because where were your sins forgiven? 2,000 years ago. Because you have believed in Christ. God does not deal with us now according to our actions. God is talking about the faith visual aids. So these are the things, Mazalana, that we have to practice. Keep on practicing them. As we practice them, we are helping our minds to kick into faith. Our minds, at times they just run, they run, they run. So bring your mind back by practicing the faith visual aids. So we can use the anointing oil for what? For health. Is it health in your body? We just saw the example now. You can use the anointing oil for protection. Take the anointing oil, anoint your house, your yard as the Lord instructs you. Anoint your vehicles. Use these faith visual aids. I listened to some testimonies where there was an area where when you drive through, people would break the windows and they would rob him. So this man, when what he did, he took the anointing oil. He anointed his car. He had to go there where he was supposed to go. So what he did, anointed his car. And after anointing his car, he drove there. At the intersection, they came and they tried to break his mirror. The mirror would not break. The man then jumped onto the bonnet and tried to smash the windscreen. The windscreen would not crack. And when the man saw that, left his whatever and he ran. What is happening then? It's a visual aid for your faith. The Holy Spirit provides you with the protection. Yes. So, but now your faith is engaged to say, I'm protected. Nothing can touch me. Because why? I saw myself applying the anointing oil. You can use it for breakthrough. You need a breakthrough in a particular area. Apply the anointing oil. You need a breakthrough in an area. Apply the anointing oil. Your faith allows the Holy Spirit to come in and do that which He wants to do. Because you have entered into a rest. Christ has done it all for you, but it requires faith of you to be able to see the manifestation. You know the story. You're called to preach and teach. Oh, the Lord calls you to go and give a speech somewhere. Take the anointing oil and anoint yourself. Anoint your lips. Father, thank you for anointing my lips. And you know that you are set to teach and preach as the Lord wants you to. It anchors your faith. The practice anchors your faith. I had as well another testimony of a man that wanted to sell his house. He had tried to sell his house for more than 3 months. He was not getting buyers or the buyer. So he heard about this message about the anointing oil. And so he went and he anointed his house with oil. Within a week, the house was sold. We have entered into the rest, Pastor Martin. We have entered into the rest, but we may not partake of what the rest has provided for us. Because our faith needs an anchor at heart. So follow the instruction that the Lord tells you to do. Anchor your faith. This message is very important. It's so important for believers because believers many times they sit and they blame God and they say, why not? Why doesn't he do this for me? And all those things. Because we have not anchored our faith. Anointing oil anchors our faith, like the blood anchored faith of the Israelites on the day of Passover. Whatever your need is, receive that the Holy Spirit destroys the power of the enemy and provides the supply that you need. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, and how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. What was Jesus Christ anointed with? With the Holy Ghost and with power. Now we know that the anointing oil represents what? The Holy Spirit. So he went about doing good. That doing good means doing good. And any good that was needed by people, he raised the dead. The Lord told you to go and raise someone from the dead. Take the anointing oil. Take the anointing oil with you and go and pray as the Lord has instructed you to. When you do hospital visits, take the anointing oil with you. It anchors their faith. It anchors their faith. Praise the Lord. Conclusion. We are called to enter into the rest that God has prepared for us in Christ. Basalani, we are there. We are already in Christ. We have the rest. But we may not see everything that God wants us to see. So what should we do? Let us anchor our faith. Let him inspire you to do something. Remember I said to you, the faith visual aids. There are those that are initiated by God. And that's the first category. The second category is God inspires you to initiate. So God may speak to you and say, I want you to do what? That might be more. Go and apply. God may inspire you to do something else, which is a faith visual aid as well. Do that. We are in this rest. Let us partake of what God has done to us. What we see affects our belief. So God gives us visual aids to anchor our faith. So do those things. Don't take it lightly. And lastly, anointing oil destroys any kind of yoke as it represents the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the message that I have for us today. Faith, visual,